Welcome to Talking Up Eagle Mountain, where we discuss a variety of topics related to Eagle Mountain City government, services, programs, and goals. I am Mayor Tom Westmoreland, and I will be the host for this episode. Our subject matter today is cold weather prep. We have guests on the podcast today, Max Straw, Public Utilities Manager for the city, Zach Hilton, Streets and Stormwater Manager, and Larry Diamond, Stormwater Supervisor. Our production staff today is Evan Barrett. Let's go ahead and start with Mac. So Mac Straw, our Public Utilities Manager, which has a lot to do with water.
Right? Yes, it does. Quite a bit.
So Mac, you know, as the season's changing, cold weather is approaching rapidly, and we'll be seeing some freezing temperatures here before long. So what do our residents need to know about freezing pipes and, you know, preparations that they can make to prevent pipes breaking or other serious issues that, I've had some issues at my home with pipes, and so my basement has been flooded a few times. It's never a fun experience.
Never.
So especially in the middle of winter.
Correct.
So yeah, what advice can you give us?
So typically, as we get to these colder temperatures, the first thing you want to take care of is your irrigation. Pretty much every home has a stop and waste. You want to make sure that's shut off. You want to make sure you winterize your irrigation lines. That's, you know, blowing out sprinklers, removing, this is the key one here, removing your backflow device. Number one callouts that we get throughout the winter is frozen backflows. They do not deal well with the cold temperatures. As far as the inside, you want to leave the water running when it's really cold. Open up cabinet drawers. Keep the heat circulating. That's kind of
now on the cabinet doors. The reason is because that's where a lot of the ducting takes place.
Correct. Right? You've got plus you're on the exterior of the home. So you will see those are the common areas, or in the cold storage areas where your main lines come in. That's kind of the two areas. If you do get freezing in the house, basically a space heater, blow dryer, those type of items will help.
Great. I know one thing I did, because I have a couple of spigots that are that are generated from inside my home, but attached to the outside. And I know they have those extended, I don't even know what that part of the spigot's called, but it's I'm sure it's supposed to help prevent freezing because it has a longer pipe connected to it.
Those are more for the air gap. That okay. allows the water to not siphon back into the house. Mm-hmm. Good practice as we do drop temperatures, make sure your hoses are removed. That's a number one for plumbers.
Sure.
they make a lot of money taking care of this kind of stuff. So you're going to want to remove your hoses. If you're going to use it, just make sure you disconnect it before the night.
Yeah, one thing I even ended up doing is I added a couple of ball valves inside so I could even turn off water well inside the house. So
great
it wasn't,
idea.
It wasn't close
yeah,
to
it's a great
the,
idea.
Keep it away from the cold temperatures.
Yeah.
So when if someone does spot something that is a concern, or they actually do have some breakage or, whatever, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you, to get someone responding? So, say there is a leak, there is a flood, there's something going on that's a concern that needs to be dealt with. What do they need to do?
They need to call the hotline. I know we've seen a lot of social media posts. We don't check social media, so the best way is to get a hold of us on the hotline. That's 801-789-5959. You're going to want to go through the prompts depending on the department that you're trying to get to. Typically, if there is an issue, we want to hear from you. That is the best way to get a hold of us 24/7. Doesn't matter what day. That's the point of reference. And typically, you'll get a phone call back within 5-10 minutes of your phone call, and we should be able to respond within 45 minutes. So you'll have someone there at the doorstep, or we may be able to help you through the phone and just kind of diagnose what the issue is.
That's great, Mac. It's really important that we be able to respond on time. And I really appreciate the fact that our people that are on call do call back. If someone doesn't pick up the phone, they'll call back within about 10 minutes.
Correct.
And if for any reason one of our residents doesn't hear from someone in 10 minutes, that's maybe, you know, good indicator to keep trying.
Keep calling. Yeah. You know, it's technology. Yeah. There's lags. So I just, you know, keep calling. We'll respond.
Great. Thank you, Mac. Well, let's go on to Zach Hilton. So Zach is head of our streets and stormwater department. Our residents get very familiar with your work on a daily basis, keeping our roads up to standard and keeping the maintenance. And sometimes road construction can be a little inconvenient, but definitely it's once the work is done, it's something that makes all of our lives better. But certainly, gosh, you know, Zach, you cover a lot of stuff. You know, everything from snow removal to patching to building roads, parking issues. So let's start with snow removal, for example. When we do get snow, what can you recommend to our residents to help in that effort to make it better for everybody, so we can get that snow cleared off and get traffic moving?
It's interesting that you say when we do get snow, because our forecast actually tonight is 70% chance of snow. Hopefully that doesn't take place. But one of the first things I like to talk about with residents about snow removal is things that they can do to prepare themselves for winter. And it's doing things like making sure they have good tires, right? That they have proper traction, their tires aren't worn out. I usually recommend people do things like keep a bag of kitty litter in their car in case they do get stuck. They can use kitty litter to help get traction, get them back on the road. Kitty litter is biodegradable and adds a little bit of added weight to your vehicle. It certainly helps to know your vehicle better, whether it's front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, all-wheel, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I was just looking at the tires on my wife's car just the other day, looking at that tread. It's getting a little thin and probably not going to be ideal for winter driving. So yeah. We're starting to make plans there ourselves.
Yeah, things like that can certainly make a difference for the driver. Another thing that I like to, we have a lot of commuting, right? It's very significant to our city. So it's for those commuters to plan ahead and know that that storm is whether it's going to hit for their commute. And I think that a lot of commuters are diligent in doing that, but to take that a step further is for them to understand that most municipalities are de-icing and not anti-icing, basically meaning that our job doesn't start until the roads, the condition gets bad, right? We have snow on the road or ice on the road.
Zach, would you mind explaining that to us just in a little bit more detail, the difference between, what was the terminology you used, de-icing
and anti-icing and de-icing, right?
Yeah, what is the difference between those two?
Anti-icing is basically a process of going out and taking steps before the storm. It's things like magnesium chloride sprays, things that you can apply to the road before the storm. For a lot of smaller governments, that's not a common process just because of the amount of budgeting and equipment that it would require that's specifically only to that task.
So that's a big investment for something that may or may not happen.
Yeah, and the other downside to it is, just like you said, may or may not happen. And you can put a lot of man hours and equipment into something that doesn't ever happen, right? Some of our toughest snowstorms are a 30% chance, and then we get 70-80% chance and nothing happens, right? So it can become a process that's expensive and can be costly with no effect as well. Mm-hmm. But
and since we only do have limited staff. How many people are on your staff, by the way?
We have inside the stormwater and the streets, we have 9 guys. We try to at least staff up to 12. We try to utilize a few other people from other departments to help us so that we can always keep staff on call, but also be prepared for a second, right? Because we don't want to keep anyone in a plow longer than 15 hours. And we want to always be able to be prepared to rotate that so that we can accommodate the service.
One of the reasons I bring that up is part of managing all of this is certainly there are some preventative measures we can take, but we can't have staff out there doing preventative measures turn right around and start doing snow removal right after they've already done a 12-hour shift.
Yeah. And so obviously our priorities begin with our arterial roads, collectors, school zones. And then we try to work our way into subdivisions that have hills, curves, that have a higher risk. But we do have to prioritize, and sometimes these storms last 10, 15 hours. And we're not cleaning up. We're just fighting the mm-hmm. whole time. And sometimes I think the perception is that we're not out there, and we are from the start to finish.
I really don't think – I mean, we have great staff throughout the city, but – as far as dedicated individuals, snow can fall at the most inconvenient times, and then our people are out there.
Yeah, we've had in the last, I think, 7 Christmases, we've worked 6 of them. These guys are dedicated. They miss a lot of family time. They miss a lot of bedtime. Right, in this season they miss their pillows and their families. That's for sure.
So, what can as residents, what can we do to help out with the snowplow effort as far as parking, safety? Even as we instruct our family members, our kids on best practices around snowplows, whether we're driving or playing or whatever.
Just to jump back with the de-icing is one thing that I like to let people understand, especially in the commute, even the next step further is, sometimes they wake up and our work's done and it looks like we did a fantastic job. Other days they wake up and it looks like we didn't do anything. And what's really relevant there is what time that storm hits. And like I say, we're de-icing. And so if that storm doesn't come in until 7 o'clock a.m., it's landing right in the time of the commute, right? And there's not a whole lot we can achieve before you're heading out the door. And number one is being aware that when you're watching the news, is this a midnight storm? Is this a early morning storm? Because they usually address, right, that, hey, this is going to affect your commute. And understanding that there is a big difference between a storm that our guys can be out all night combating as opposed to we're getting called out at the same time you're heading out your driveway, right? And it's going to be a big difference for you. And understanding a morning storm that you may need to accommodate more time because your drive probably is not going to be very good. Parking, the more parking there is on the street, it puts our drivers in more risk of an accident. It obviously slows down our process of trying to complete the task, which means it takes us longer to get to the next street and so on and so forth. There's also things like throwing snow into the street. You're actually supposed to keep your snow, keep it on your yard. It's common for us to get called back out because we've cleaned a road and someone throws it into the road. And it's just being mindful of that and your neighbors.
How about other safety issues, particularly with our youth? Is there any advice we can give there other than just remember?
For me, all of my children, because I've spent so much time in the snow and seeing things that happen, and it is honestly, my children, I take them somewhere, and we do drive in the snow. Like, it doesn't matter how long they've had their license, right? We have that experience so that, and preferably it's somewhere where there's enough open area that they can feel what it's like to slide and things like this, right? And experience what it feels like when the car doesn't respond, like it typically does on a nice day, right? Whether that's doesn't stop or it doesn't turn. And the more we understand that, the more we can cope with that, and instead of panicking when we're driving. And certainly the best thing to do to combat that is slow down and take the time to get there.
It's rare that we get so much snow that our young people are tempted to build, you know, snow caves and things along roadways. But I've certainly lived in areas where that happens, and that's something I know I want to discourage. Should we get that much snow, yeah, along the roadway is not a place to play, because those snowplows can't see, especially if someone's underneath the snow. Can't see that. So those are certainly safety concerns, and no one wants to have those kind of accidents.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Zach. Yeah, we got Zach and Mac here. So it's like
I'll step in for him. What would you like?
Sorry, Zach. We've had a lot of road construction work through this year, a lot of expansion of Pony Express. I know you're doing everything you can to get a microsurface done before the season closes on us. What can you tell us about the microsurface project?
Yeah, certainly our preference is to try and get it done this fall. As the season wraps up, we're certainly running out of time, but certainly our main priority is the widening of Pony Express, which is currently taking place, which, you know, our goal is to have that finished by next week, as well as...
So when you say next week, so this podcast won't run for a few days, but... Can you throw some dates on us? So
the paving project for the widening, I believe the finish date is scheduled for next Wednesday, October the 16th, which is actually the last day for school before fall break.
Okay.
Our goal as well is to actually try to capitalize on fall break with the microsurface, because a lot of that is going to be with the high school, the junior high, several other school zones, and that was obviously our goal. But we've certainly got to have some significant weather change in order to pull that off. So that one's really not up to us, but sure. That's our goal.
Maybe we can talk, just touch on that for a minute too, how temperature affects road work.
You know, it's different for which types of road work, but, you know, the widening right now, it's hot mix asphalt, it's pavement. So they've got to have ground temperatures in order to accommodate enough time to get the product there that's hot, have it placed and compacted without risking losing temperatures. The microsurface actually is not hot, but is water-based. And so then you actually risk having adequate daylight in order to get it to cure and not risk freezing in the product.
So both temperature and moisture... do impact that, and
certainly
could prevent either completion or cause the product to break down and not do what it's supposed to do.
Correct.
Okay, let's go back to the hotline then. So there are bound to be questions, whether it's getting updates. I know Linda Peterson tries to get those updates out in text messages is so that commuters can know what to anticipate. But then occasionally there might be things, and we know that through the winter, things might pop up, like potholes, for example, and any other concern. Again, the hotline is there for a reason.
Yeah, I actually like that you bring that up. Because some of these things, I mean, we vary from things that aren't necessarily an emergency as to things that need to be addressed quickly. And certainly our first response would be that if it's during work hours and a non-emergency, it would be to contact our office. But if it's after hours or an emergency, the hotline is our preferred method. That is something that is always monitored, as well as we kind of talked about the social media, and it's certainly not uncommon that we've had instances take place on social media that we could have responded to hours earlier, just if we had been contacted. But one other thing, I guess, that I'd like to reach out on that, that's a little different than Mac brought. A lot of the times, like in their hotline call, it might be an isolated area. And so that response can be within 10 minutes of a phone call and 45 minutes on site. But as we're talking about snow removal, sometimes these calls come in from all around and they keep coming, right? And to be mindful that if it's a citywide storm, we're probably almost certainly aware of it. And sometimes the constant recalling just slows the process down, because sometimes the same people answering the phone are the same people that are trying to clear the roadways. And to be mindful in those kind of scenarios where it's not an isolated situation, it might take longer for someone to call you back or to see them respond, because that person's probably already out working. It's a little different scenario.
Yeah, that's a great point. We appreciate that.
Mayor, if you don't mind, can I just interject here on the hotline? As far as the water and sewer issues, if there is an issue, we want you to call the hotline. Going through the office will delay our time. Yeah. So hotline, always.
Definitely. Great. Can we go ahead and give that hotline number one more time?
Yeah, it's 801-789-5959. And you'll just run through the prompts.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that number is the same for all emergencies. So it's just one number and then a prompt for whatever department.
Great. And Zach, as you mentioned, then during the day or a non-emergency, they can use any of the city numbers, yeah. Really.
Yes.
So, all right, Larry Diamond, stormwater supervisor, how are you?
Good.
Thanks
good.
For being here.
Thanks for letting me.
So, it's about time for some leaves to start falling, and so a whole nother layer of yard work to get done before snow starts to cover it all up. And so we've got our our leaf bag program. What can you tell us about that?
Well, with fall coming, the trees start losing their leaves, and they're going to cover the storm drains, fall in the gutters, flow down to the storm drain catch basins, and potentially plug them, which can cause street flooding, some isolating flooding. Not only that, it could potentially pollute the stormwater system. So we try, and we have implemented the Bag the Leaf program to help assist residents in picking up their leaves and picking up the bags. We provide bags both here at City Hall and at the Community Development Center. Residents can come down and pick them up and fill their bags, and then we will come around and actually pick them up and dispose of them for the residents. That benefits both of us, benefits us because, the gutters are going to stay cleaner, the catch basins are not going to get plugged and potentially cause flooding or pollutants.
Now, anyone taking advantage of the leaf bag program, then after they've bagged their leaves, they just set them out on the curb?
Absolutely. They could just set them on the curb and we will come around once a week and pick them up, or they can also email the storm drain department just letting us know that they have bags available and ready for pickup. And when that subdivision's on the schedule, then we'll stop by and pick them up.
Great. What email should they use?
ldiamond@emcity.org.
Great. And how many bags do we allocate per household?
We allocate 5, but if there's a need for more, we're definitely out there to give more. We don't want to give a whole entire boxes away to a home, to everybody. But if you need more, there's more available. Ooh. But we kind of limit it at 5.
Okay.
And you don't have to use our bags. You could use your own grocery sacks, paper sacks. We just ask that you keep it below 40 pounds. Nothing other than leaves in the bags.
Good point. This is not typical trash disposal. These are leaves we're talking about.
Yes. So, no yard waste, no animal waste. If we drive through, if our staff drives through and finds a bag that has animal waste in it or garbage in it, we will leave it and notify the homeowner that they'll have to dispose of it on their own. Normally, we take the bags to green waste, and they get processed there into compost, so they don't want anything other than green waste there.
Great point. So you mentioned storm drains. What else do our residents need to know about how to take care of those storm drains?
You know, one of our biggest goals is to prevent any pollutants to enter the system. Our storm water enters into our storm drain system, and it goes into Tickville Wash and then into Jordan River without being treated. There's no treatment process before it enters the Jordan River and downstream from there. So we try very hard to prevent any pollutants entering the system. The United States Environmental Protection Agency has a classification of illicit discharge, which we have to obey by. And we go out and do dry weather screening every year of all of our outfalls. We have the 24-hour hotline set up for anybody to call in if they see anybody dumping anything that is non-storm water.
So, Larry, you're saying it's actually illegal to put any pollutants down the storm drain.
Absolutely. Anything that is not storm water, anything that does not fall out of the sky that is not storm related, is illegal to go down the drain. You cannot drain pools into the storm drain. You shouldn't dump any contaminants, paints, oils. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff that shouldn't go down there, that once it gets into the system, then we need to go through and jet the lines out, clean up all the catch basins, and then dispose of that waste at that point, which is extremely costly.
That does sound expensive. All right, Larry, again, we're getting close on time here. What about usage of the hotline here?
So our hotline is just like Zach and Mac mentioned, our hotline is available 24 hours a day, 801-789-5959, option 5. We want anything, if you see anybody dumping anything into the storm drain, any open manholes or catch basins, or if you experience any street-related flooding, please call our 24-hour hotline and report it to us immediately.
Great. All right, gentlemen, thank you for being here. Anything, any last thoughts, any of you want to add at this point?
No, I'm pretty much good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us and sharing your insights. And thank you for being out there serving the public. And again, want to encourage the public to reach out to you. That's why you're there, is serve them, make life better in Eagle Mountain. So we want to thank all of our listeners for joining us on this podcast. If there are any subject matter that you would like us to include in the future, in a future podcast, please let us know. And again, this has been Talking Up Eagle Mountain. Thank you for joining us.